Christmas story is the best story ever. It's the best story ever told. And it's so helpful sometimes to look at a familiar story through a different lens. And hearing kids tell the story of Jesus even makes it that much sweeter. Because the story is about God's love for us. It's about God who didn't leave us to deal with the brokenness of life and our own rejection of him on our own, but he sent Jesus to come here in the midst of the mess. He grew up, the baby did, and he lived a perfect life. Never made a mistake, never sinned. The only person that's ever been able to do that. And he did it because he was fully God as well as being fully a man. He gave his life on a cross so that the sins that we commit, the mistakes and the things that we have done to reject and rebel against God can be forgiven. And God raised him to life on the third day to defeat sin and the grave, as we sang in the song earlier. The Christmas story is the greatest story ever. It's the best story ever. And Jesus is the hero of the story. Christmas is about Jesus. But as we've been walking as a church the past several weeks, we've been looking at this idea that while the story is about Jesus and nothing is more important than Jesus, God works in a really interesting way. God uses ordinary people like me and you to be part of extraordinary things. The Christmas story is no different. God continues to do that even to this day, that God uses ordinary people to be part of extraordinary things. He used Mary, a young girl who was poor and really came from a town that nobody really knew, wasn't a lot happened in the town, but God used her to be the mother of his son. A guy named Joseph was her fiance, and God spoke to him through an angel as well as he spoke to Mary through an angel and told Joseph, listen, don't worry that Mary's pregnant and you know it's not yours, but it's God's child, that God is doing something extraordinary. And Joseph believed, and Joseph became part of the story. And as we've been talking as a church, we've been looking at how every time God showed up in the Christmas story and how God sent an angel to deliver the news of how an ordinary person was now going to be part of the extraordinary thing God was doing, they used the phrase, fear not, or do not be afraid. Because fear can keep people, and I would say can keep us, from saying yes to how God wants to use us to be part of the extraordinary things he has planned. Mary had to overcome fear. She had to overcome the fear of what God had planned for her. It wasn't an easy road. It wasn't an easy assignment. It wasn't an easy task. Joseph had to overcome the fear of what other people might think. And both chose faith over the fear that could have come into their life, and God used them in extraordinary ways. Well, tonight we want to continue looking at the Christmas story. We want to focus on another group of characters that God uses in an extraordinary way, some very, very ordinary people called shepherds. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 tells the account of shepherds out in the field, probably having some s'mores like you saw in the video, right? Out in the field on a normal night. Here's what we got to remember. This wasn't Christmas Eve. To them. It wasn't Christmas Day to them. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was a normal, everyday night that God interrupted in an extraordinary, extraordinary way. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under the seat that you're sitting on. You can pull that one out and you can use it. You can also take that with you as our gift if you don't have a Bible that you currently are using to spend time in God's Word. So let's do this. Let's stand. I'm going to read for us Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. We're going to go through 21. And then what we're going to do is, as is our practice as a church, when we read God's word in our worship settings like this, what we'll do is at the end of that, I'll read it. At the end of it, we'll say the phrase, the very words. We'll say that out loud together to distinguish God's word from my own. So let's look at the story of the shepherds. Says this verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. It's an ordinary night. You can have a seat. It's an ordinary night. Shepherds out in the field doing their job. Verse 8 tells us this, that they're in the same region. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Like I said, it wasn't a special night. It was just an ordinary night. And these shepherds who were ordinary people, it's important to understand who we're talking about. In their day, in their culture, in which the story took place, shepherds were at best seen as ordinary people. They were the average run-of-the-mill people. Nothing of prominence, nothing of power, nothing of position most of the time. They were seen just as ordinary people. In some settings, the people say that they were actually seen as outcasts, that they were actually described and seen as thieves, that in certain times and places they weren't allowed to come into the city because people feared the shepherds. So these were ordinary people who may or may not have had the best reputation in town, and God shows up to these ordinary people in an extraordinary way. These ordinary people living their ordinary lives got brought into the extraordinary thing that God was doing. You know, it's interesting who God chooses to use in the story. As God announces the most important news to the world that the world could ever hear, that God has come, Jesus Christ is born. He doesn't make the announcement to royalty. He doesn't make the announcement to the upper class. He doesn't make the announcement to the religious leaders. He chooses a group of ordinary, everyday people. And so I ask the question to myself, okay, well, nothing God does is by circumstance. Everything God does has a point. The fact that you're here tonight, whether you come here every single Sunday or whether you're here because the people who you're staying with and celebrating Christmas with are here, or whether you're invited or whether you live in town but you're looking for a church to come to and you came here tonight, you're here for a purpose whether you realize it or not, because God does nothing by mistake. And God used shepherds for a specific purpose. What's the purpose? Well, I think it's this. Because God didn't just want the world to hear the message of Christmas. He wanted every person to know and understand that the message of Christmas is for everyone. That the message of Christmas is for everyone. See, if God had spoken that message to the religious elite, then we could maybe think, okay, well, the message of Christmas is really only for those who are super religious. If God had spoken that to kings and royalty, it may be easy for us to think, well, if I'm not a king or I'm not royalty, then the message isn't for me. But God chose ordinary, average, everyday people for a reason. And I believe it's because he wants you and he wants me to know and remember on this night that the message of Christmas is for everyone. The message of Christmas is for everyone. And what was that message? Well, look at verse 10. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you born this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger.'" The angel says, "I bring you a message of good news," of good news. That this message was something that should bring great joy in our life. And he goes on to say that he brought this message, he sent the angels to bring this message for all people. See, the good news is that God was sending a way. Jesus, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, who through him, God would use his life to make a way for all of us, even though we are not perfect, even though we have chosen to sin and rebel and reject God in some way, at some point in our life, the Bible says we've all done that. And because of that, we live apart from God. Because of that, we live in a world that's broken. Because of that, we find ourselves broken. And God was sending a Savior, a way, so all that brokenness could be mended, that we could be brought back into a relationship with God, that we could find hope and peace, joy and love and eternal life. And the good news was the Savior of the world, the one who was to bring that way for the world, had come. And that should bring us incredible joy. And it was for all people. John 3:16, the most familiar verse and famous verse of all of Scripture, declares the message of Christmas is for everyone. Look what John writes in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." John records this. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes." Not whoever but them, not whoever but you, not whoever but your neighbor you don't like, right? Not whoever but the family member that you don't really want to see tomorrow, right? And maybe some of you here tonight, you're kind of like, I hope it's not me, right? You know, like, think of your worst enemy, the person you can't stand, because if we're honest, we all have those people in our life. They're included in the message. Because the message of Christmas is for everyone. And it's good news of great joy, and it's for all people. It was first for the people of Israel, and then it became a message and an invitation to everyone. And I believe God wants us to know that that message includes us. It includes you. It includes me. Well, when the shepherds heard that message, what was their response? Well, look at verse 15. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has happened with which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." See, the shepherds heard the message. The shepherds believed the message. The shepherds went to find the one who the message was about. And when they found him, they encountered him and they saw him and they believed in him in such a way that it changed their life. It says they returned back to the fields, glorifying and praising God. See, the shepherds heard that the message was one of good news and great joy, and it was for everyone. And that same message is what we need to understand today. The message of Christmas is for everyone, but it changes those when we choose to believe. It changes those who choose to believe. See, the shepherds could have heard the message. They could have heard the message that's for everyone, and they could have not believed it. They could have not done anything about it, and they wouldn't have been changed by the message. See, it's one thing to know the message. It's another thing to believe the message of Jesus and be changed by the message of Jesus. See, the shepherds didn't stop with just knowing and hearing the message. They believed the message. And when they believed the message, that was when they were changed. So I thought to myself, what would have happened if they didn't believe the message? Or maybe a better question is, what would have kept them from believing the message? Because the message was good news. It was great joy. It was for all people. But we know that not all people believe the message. Well, like every character in the story, I believe that the shepherds may have had to overcome a certain fear. And something that could have kept them from believing and pursuing the message of Christmas could have been the fear of not being good enough. Remember, these were the ordinary of ordinary. These were people who had no prominence necessarily. They were people who, you know, weren't the ones that would be expected to show up at the birth of a king. And it could have been that in that moment, they could have felt like they were unworthy. Why are they hearing the message? Why? What do I have? You know, why is this for me? Is it really for me? They could have felt unwelcome. They could have been fearful that if we show up wherever this baby is, we're not going to be let in because we're not family, we're not friends, we're these random shepherds, right? And that could have made them feel unloved. See, I think for some in this room and for people in general, that sometimes the reason why we resist believing the message of Christmas, that God loved the world enough that he came here to save us, is because we have that same fear. We fear we might not be good enough. We fear that because of what we've done in our life, we fear that because of the things that have maybe been done to us in our life and the scars that we have from relationships or the struggles or the doubts or the fears, we feel like that we have to be careful because if we approach God, we're fearful he's not gonna accept us. Maybe you've taken a step and churches or religion has pushed you aside because of the type of person that you are, or the things that you struggle with, and you feel like you're not welcome, you're not worthy, and you feel like you're not loved. And if I'm not loved by the people of God, how do I know that God will love me? But we've got to come back to the message, because the message of Christmas is for everyone. And the message is this, is that none of us are worthy. See, sometimes we feel like this. We feel that because we know us, because I know me, because I know the things I'm proud of, I know the things I'm ashamed of, I know the things that I've done that nobody else knows, I know the brokenness inside of me, that we disqualify ourselves from being loved by God. But here's the thing, God knows all of that and chooses to love you anyway. See, the message of Christmas is for everyone, and that includes you. Regardless of your past, regardless of your hangups, regardless of your questions, the message is for you, but it will change you only when you choose to believe it. So here's the question I want to leave you with tonight. Is fear keeping you from believing the message of Christmas? Has fear convinced you that you're not worthy enough? Has fear convinced you that you're not welcome? Has fear convinced you that you're not loved? Everything about Christmas speaks against that fear. Because God didn't stay away from our mess, he came into our mess. And he chose ordinary people to be part of an extraordinary thing. And he's inviting you to be part of that extraordinary thing tonight.